The following program sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
We have a wonderful show for you today, and I don't want to take any time. I want to get started right away with our very special guest, Randy Alcorn. Randy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you, Mike.
It's just a pleasure to have you on, and I want to spend this hour talking about your brand new book, Why Pro-Life. And I want to make a quick statement here. I believe every high school student in this country should have this book. It is one of the best books I have ever read on this issue, Why Pro-Life. It is easy to read and covers all the basic issues. So, Randy, what do you think about Why Pro-Life?
Well, you know, I think we just need to take an accurate look at what's happening in our culture. You know, there's a bumper sticker rhetoric out there, and you'll see a bumper sticker maybe from Planned Parenthood that uses their slogan, every child a wanted child. Well, we need to get beneath the surface of this, because there's just a lot of slogans out there, and what do they really mean? And when people talk about being pro-choice, oh, well, aren't we all pro-choice? Well, of course, we're pro-choice about whether you eat Mexican food or Chinese food, or, you know, what part of town you live in, or what kind of car you drive. You know, that's up to you. God created choice. Choice is a good thing. But we're not pro-choice about rape, kidnapping, child abuse, murder, and we shouldn't be pro-choice about taking the life of an innocent child. And every child a wanted child? Well, I agree. Every child a wanted child. But as I say in Why Pro-Life, what's beneath that? What does that mean? How do you finish that sentence? Well, I'd finish the sentence, every child a wanted child, so let's learn to want children more, and let's do what we can to get children in the homes of people who want them. But Planned Parenthood would finish it, every child a wanted child, this is the part they don't tell you, every child a wanted child, so, well, let's identify unwanted children and kill them before they're born. So what every child a wanted child really means is every unwanted child a dead child.
Randy, do you think Planned Parenthood has really been honest and open about this whole pro-abortion and pro-life movement? Notice how I really don't like to call it pro-choice, because I agree with you.
Yes.
It's either pro-abortion, pro-death,
right,
or it's pro-life.
Yeah, and the problem with it is, you know, we've gone back and forth on this, a lot of us, to try to figure out. The problem is it's so universally called pro-choice in our culture that, and a lot of it is our fault. We allowed the pro-abortion movement to commandeer the word choice. And we're now facing the consequences. And what we have to do is just say, okay, what do you mean by choice? Which choice are you talking about? Because now, are you pro-choice means, are you pro-abortion? But it's a euphemism, because abortion is, you know, is really the issue. And that's what we have to always kind of get beneath the surface of the rhetoric, of the propaganda, and say, what does it mean? Now, regarding Planned Parenthood, one thing I would say is, I have met some people who have worked with Planned Parenthood who I believe are sincere. I think they genuinely think they are helping women. But you can be sincere and also be very deceived. And I also think that there are some insincere people who are involved with Planned Parenthood. And a lot of it goes back to, you know, I did a lot of reading of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, her stuff that she wrote in the 20s, 30s, and into the early 40s. And she was a eugenicist. She actually subscribe to the same eugenic beliefs that drove Nazi Germany, the master race, all of that. And it's amazing when you go back and hear the things that she said, for instance, about black people, about Hispanics. She called them inferior. She called them human weeds that need to be removed from the face of the earth.
Now, what is Margaret Sanger? What did she start there? Was she the, she is the founder of Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood, right.
Right.
Yes, right. And she had this, magazine called The Birth Control Review. And I went back and got copies of that thing, and they were hard to find, but it was stunning, some of the claims that she made. And so I think, in all honesty, Planned Parenthood needs to come forward and say, we were, our organization was founded by a racist, and we will no longer celebrate the teachings and writings of Margaret Sanger, but instead they've done a cover-up job so that people don't know this.
Right. I don't see that in any of their publications anywhere, what Margaret Sanger really stood for. Again, I'm Mike Riddle. We're talking with Randy Alcorn about his brand-new book, Why Pro-Life. And if you'd like to talk to Randy today, give us a call at 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. Now, Randy, in your book, I just loved the book so much, and again, if you'd like to get a copy of this book, you can either go to Randy's personal website, or you can go to our website, creationmatters.org, and on our homepage, we have a picture of Randy's book, Why Pro-Life. If you click on that picture, it will take you directly to Randy Alcorn's website, where you can purchase this book, and it's not that expensive, and every teenager in this country should have a copy of this book to really understand the issues. Now, Randy, in your book, you talk about the number of human casualties. How does that compare, the number of human casualties in the abortion movement, how does that compare to September 11th?
Well, there's more casualties each day from abortion in our country than there was on 9/11. And I don't say that in any way, obviously, to minimize the horror of 9/11. It's just that we need to say, you know, why don't we take the same value of human life and apply it to people who are unborn and people who can't defend themselves? Because you could argue at least that some people who have died, and people die every day, of course, but soldiers and others who are dying in the world on all sides of different wars and conflicts, at least as adults, they have the possibility of protecting themselves, sometimes anyway. But Scripture says we are to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We're to defend the right of the poor and needy. It says that in Proverbs 31. And this is where I think we need to say, as adults, we should defend the poor and the needy. And in Scripture, they're often called the widows and the orphans. And the widows are the husbandless, and the orphans are the fatherless, and they're both powerless often in society. And that's why the pro-life movement and the help that it gives to women in difficult pregnancies and challenging pregnancies, crisis pregnancies, and being there and giving goods and services at no charge, and giving ultrasounds, and giving baby clothes, and all the things that are done in helping people pursue the option of adoption. And even if they make the wrong choice, even if they choose abortion and pay their money to Planned Parenthood or someone else who has an abortion clinic, the pro-life movement is there to say, look, we'll help you. We'll help you work through your grief. We'll help you work through your issues. We've got support groups for you. And, of course, you know, the other side, the so-called pro-choice movement, is really kind of a no-choice movement, no choice but abortion. And then if you get it, we're not going to even help you deal with it, because you shouldn't feel bad about it. You should feel good about it. But no woman really does.
Well, you made a statement in there about the woman's health. Does abortion harm a woman's physical and mental health?
Well, it certainly can. And statistically, many physical problems have been documented as a result of abortion. One of the chapters in this book, which is just 140 pages or so, but it has 20 different chapters, so they're very short chapters. But the longest chapter in the whole book, because there was so much I had to try to squeeze into it, is chapter 11, and it's called Does Abortion Harm a Woman's Physical and Mental Health? Because there are all of these studies about the physical harm, the increase in ectopic pregnancies, the frequency of early death for infants that are born after the mothers have had abortions, so children that this woman may have in the future can be affected. But basically, testifying before a Senate subcommittee in 2004, Dr. Elizabeth Shadigan said, quote, abortion increases the rates of breast cancer, placenta previa, preterm birth, and maternal suicide. Statistically, all types of death are higher with women who have had induced abortions. So tremendous harm to women.
Why is Planned Parenthood not getting this information out to the people?
Well, I think it's a matter of vested interest. Planned Parenthood does not want a certain kind of child in this world and does not want certain kinds of people having children. And that has been their agenda for a long time. They really got caught up by the so-called population explosion and a lot of the extremes that went the world is going to be overrun if we don't do something to cut back on these children being born. Well, even if you took that position, the solution surely should not be taking the lives of children. I remember we were at a pro-life gathering one time, and my wife and I were standing there, and a sort of a counter-protester came up to us and, you know, held the sign about pro-choice, and she looked at Nancy, and she said, look, go out on the streets of Portland, our city, and you can see these children that walk the streets and they're not wanted. Is this what you wanted? And Nancy looked at her and said, oh, well, okay, so how do we solve that problem of unwanted children? Should you and I, like, get a machine gun and go down and just mow them down? Well, no, that's not how you solve a problem. What we need to do is get rid of the unwanted rather than get rid of the children in the term unwanted children. Let's learn to want them, not take their lives.
Excellent. This is Mike Riddle on Creation Matters. In case you're out there wondering, what does pro-life or pro-abortion have to do with the creation evolution movement? Let me take you back to Charles Darwin. When he wrote his book, The Descent of Man, he convinced many people that humans are a non-special species. In other words, the pro-abortion movement is based largely on evolution thinking. Now, I'm not saying all evolutionists are pro-abortion, but the concept of evolution enhances abortion. Now, Randy, before we go to break, I have a question for you. We see so many abortions out there. Is it also happening to people that go to church?
Absolutely. In fact, the statistics are really remarkable on this, as I talk about in the book. Two out of every three women getting an abortion identify themselves as either Protestants or Catholics. Now, of course, a lot of that is nominal, and a lot of those people aren't going to church recently. But 18% of women getting abortions identify themselves as evangelical or born-again Christian.
We'll be right back from Randy Alcorn on Why Pro-Life. And if you want to give us a call, 800-955-8200 to talk to Randy Alcorn and why we should believe in pro-life. If you just joined us, this is Mike Riddle on Creation Matters, and we have a special guest with us, Randy Alcorn. We're talking about his book, Why Pro-Life. And again, I think every teenager and every adult should have a copy of this book. It is a wonderful book, easy to read, covers all the important issues, it gives a good mix of good science and scripture. And if you'd like to get a copy of this book, you can go out to our website, creationmatters.org. Click on the picture of the book on our homepage there called Why Pro-Life, and it'll take you right to Randy Alcorn's webpage where you can purchase this book for a wonderful cost. And while you're at our website, in case you didn't notice, we have a special deal going for the rest of this month. If you purchase our Origin of Life Equipping course, now regularly it goes for $59, but we're going to sell it for $19 for all those of you listening out there. $19 for 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual, and a teacher's guide. And for this month, we will throw in a DVD on the origin of humans for free. That's an $18 value. So you're getting almost $70 worth of information for just $19. CreationMatters.org. Randy, got a question for you here.
Okay.
Which is a very, very important question, I think, and you covered in your book. When does life really begin?
Well, you know, there's actually no debate about this in science. The interesting thing is that for years, people would say, well, this is really a religious question, and that science can't answer. Well, you know, I cite well over a dozen different scientists who say, without a doubt, human life, every human life, begins at conception. That is the beginning point. Prior to that, you had sperm, you had egg, but you did not have a new human being with those chromosomes and the combination from mother and father, with its distinct, unique DNA in which the gender is already determined, the color of the eyes is already determined. All this is already determined right at that point of conception. It's very neat, it's very clean, it's very obvious, and there's simply no scientific debate about it anymore, and that's why you will hear people in so-called pro-choice circles really no longer appealing to that, but it was so drilled into the public consciousness for so many years, even though it was utterly false, you still bump into many people who say, well, we don't know when human life begins. Clearly we do, and if you talk to any woman and ask who's pregnant, you know, and ask her what's inside of you, she will not tell you there's a blob of tissue or a product of conception. She'll tell you there's a baby, and we all know she's right.
Wasn't it Planned Parenthood about 20, 30 years ago that was talking about it's not a human being?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to take that argument, and now the argument they take is, okay, we'll grant it's a human being, but we don't think it should have the same rights as adult, bigger, born people should have.
You know, one of the things that when I watch these debates on television, pro-life and pro-abortion, the person from Planned Parenthood is always talking about how they take the scientific road, but aren't they the most unscientific group out there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's remarkable some of the things that get claimed. For instance, one time I was given a presentation, and there was a gal there who was, quote, pro-choice, and she was getting her master's degree at Portland State University, and an intelligent and, I would think, well-read person. And so I bring out this photograph of a child at 8 weeks after conception, so in the first trimester. And so I show this photograph, and this is not of an aborted baby, but, you know, intrauterine photography. I show this photograph, and she says, do you think you're going to fool anyone with that trick photography? And I said, well, you can go to Harvard University Medical School textbooks. You can go to Life magazine. You can go into your local Barnes & Noble, take any book on child development off the shelf, and you'll see the same picture.
Yeah, I'd like to read. I've got a couple of quotes from your book. I just like the way you've done this. It's so well organized. Here's a quote from a genetics professor at a university in Paris, and he makes this statement, quote, after fertilization has taken place, a new human being has come into being. And here's another one from a gentleman who is a professor at Harvard University Medical School. And here's his quote in your book. It is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception. So overwhelmingly, that is the truth. Life begins at conception. But, you know, the misinformation, like you said, is just out there, and it's over our public schools and universities. Do you know some people still believe that the human embryo has gill slits like a fish?
Right. Yeah, that whole you know, line of argumentation, as you well know, that goes back to what was it called, the recapitulation thing, the idea of that each human being in its development goes through its evolutionary ancestry. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, and most people now would recognize that. But it's just amazing the very unscientific things that are held onto. Science very much overlaps with what Scripture says. Scripture makes it clear that each human life begins at conception. And it uses, for instance, when it talks about Jacob and Esau being the twins, being in the womb together, and it talks about these children before they were born. Well, the word children that is used of them is the same word for the Hebrew child who's 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old. It's just there wasn't a separate word for an unborn child. There didn't have to be. This one's a child, that one's a child. You didn't have to say fetus, embryo, product of conception. You know, a child is a child.
Yes, I like in your book, you actually give the definition of fetus. And on here on page 33 of your book, you say fetus is a Latin word variously translated offspring, young one, or little child. So it's not a blob.
Right.
The very word says it's not a blob.
Exactly. And yet, the word, because a lot of people don't think in those terms, creates a distance between us and the child. And as long as we speak of the child as a child and admit and affirm the child's personhood, then we are less likely to be willing to take the life of that child. But if you can depersonalize, and of course, and I document this in the book, that's what Hitler did in Nazi Germany, and a lot of people will think, oh, that's just really extreme to even make that comparison. But the comparison is to the power of words, rhetoric, propaganda, semantics, because if we can say we're going to evacuate the uterus rather than we're going to kill a child, we can convince people to do things which their conscience would otherwise forbid them from doing.
Randy, we have a lot of people out there that are listening to this show, and some of them may have had abortions in their background. This next question is directly at those people. Can God forgive abortions?
Absolutely. No question about it. No sin is too big. For Christ, there was no sin he did not die for on the cross. He offers his forgiveness, and one of the really sad things is that many women in deep need of forgiveness, and many men, because remember, there's always a man who's gotten this woman pregnant, and often that man has coughed up the $300 or whatever for her to get the abortion, and has not really been a man, you know, in the right sense to be there and to take care of this child and to be there for the woman if the woman wants him. And so there are people carrying this guilt. Our churches are full of people carrying this guilt. And so I've even talked with pastors, and I was a pastor for 14 years myself, but I've talked with pastors who say, well, I'm not going to talk about this abortion thing because so many of our women have had abortions. It's just going to put a guilt trip on them. Well, would you use the same logic we're not going to talk about sexual purity in our church because we have so many people committing adultery? And no, you'd say, that's actually a very good reason for us to talk about it. In other words, what can we do to bring a message of conviction and forgiveness to people whose lives are just torn apart in their grief over the sin of abortion? Christ died for that sin, just like he died for our sins of pride and materialism and everything else, and he offers his forgiveness. You confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We're talking with Randy Alcorn. We're going to go for a short break. We have some lines open, 800-955-8200, if you'd like to talk to Randy. We're back on the air. This is Creation Matters. I'm Mike Riddle. We have a special guest, Randy Alcorn. We're talking about his new book, Why Pro-Life, which I recommend every teenager in this country should have. In order to get a copy of that, go to our website, creationmatters.org, and click on the book image we have there. It'll take you right to the website so you can purchase it. We still have some lines open, 800-955-8200. And right now I'd like to go out to Leah in Everett. You have a question for Randy here.
Yes, I do. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Leah.
I'm 51, and I had an abortion about 5 months after I was married.
Hmm.
My ex didn't want it, and ex means we're divorced now. It caused my divorce. It was the primary cause of my divorce, depression and alcoholism. And I now have a daughter-in-law who married my son, wonderful gal, but has had 3 abortions and can't live with that either. Can your book help both of us?
Well, I think it can, and it certainly, and even apart from my book, there are groups, the CareNet centers,
the
pregnancy resource centers, which have these post-abortion studies. Some of them are called PACE studies. Some of them are called HEART studies. And they are designed primarily for women, though there are some separate men-only groups as well. And they just bring such encouragement for a realization of forgiveness that the things that haunt you do not have to haunt you, and God's grace comes to bear in these situations. And we have a gal that we took into our home as a 17-year-old who had had a saline abortion and also had another abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was with us, the child that she had, she gave up for adoption into a Christian family. And so she has said to us, you know, the studies that she's gone through, the post-abortion groups and all of that, and she's now leading in the state women's state prison. She's now leading a post-abortion Bible study for women in there, and they're just coming to the Lord and
wow.
seeing God's grace.
Also, in your book, Randy, you have a chapter 18, Can God Forgive Abortions? And I just love the way you use Scripture in there. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. It's not, abortion's not the only sin. Everybody
Absolutely.
Has sinned. But you make this statement that, no, we shouldn't dwell on the past. Jesus offers the same forgiveness to all sins. No matter how or what we have done, God's mercy and grace can
yes.
cover everything.
He is a God of grace, absolutely, and no sin is beyond him. He is always greater than our sins.
Well, I thank you, and I'm going to get your book for sure, and it's not going to save my marriage, but I'm hoping it's going to save my daughter-in-law and her and my son.
Well,
so.
and good for you to take that perspective, and, you know, feel free to email us at our ministry. You could send it to randy@epm.org.
Okay.
And if you have questions about, you know, we can find out exactly what's available in your area for the kinds of classes that could be an encouragement to you, to her. Who knows? Maybe you could go to one together.
Yes. Okay. I will. randy@epm.org.
Right.
Thank you so much, and
you
thank
bet.
You for your ministry. This is the first I've heard of it, and so I really appreciate it, and I know that it's going to touch a lot of people. It's even touched me.
Well. God.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Leah.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
What a wonderful caller. You know, I wonder how many other people Planned Parenthood has snookered on this issue.
Well, the interesting thing is who is there for these women after people talk them into getting abortions? And the answer is people in the pro-life community are there, but people in the so-called pro-choice community, it's like pay your money, have your abortion, and goodbye. There is, you know, and I don't mean that everybody is a terrible, evil person that's involved with these groups. Some of them are very deceived. But nonetheless, the old stereotype of, well, these pro-life people don't really care about the women and they don't care about the babies once they're born, that's just utterly false, as I document in the Why Pro-Life book. The pro-life movement is actually the single greatest, largest, grassroots volunteer movement in human history.
Randy, I've got a real big question. Planned Parenthood has used this one, the pro-abortion, again, I don't like to use that pro-choice, the pro-abortion or pro-death movement. Is the unborn baby part of the woman's body?
Well, this is another very unscientific claim, because a body part is defined by the common genetic code that it shares with the rest of its body. So, you know, the unborn child has its own genetic code, and it is distinctly different from his or her mother's genetic code. I mean, every cell of his body is uniquely his. You know, each is different from every cell of his mother's body. So location is not the same as being part of something. Because think about it. If they're right when they claim that the unborn child is part of the mother's body, then every pregnant woman has two noses, four legs, two sets of fingerprints, two brains, two circulatory systems, and two skeletal systems, and half the time she also has male genitals, because half the time her child is a boy.
Sounds like a Martian.
Well, if it's ludicrous to believe that, which clearly it is, then the child that she is carrying cannot be a part of her body. That is utterly false. To be located in a body is not the same as being part of the body.
All this information in Randy Alcorn's new book, Why Pro-Life. And to get a copy, go to creationmatters.org, click on the icon Why Pro-Life there, and it'll take you right to his website where you can buy that. And while you're out at our website, look at the materials we have, and we have a tremendous bargain for you this month. The Origin of Life Equipping Course, 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual, a teacher guide, and we're going to throw in an $18 value on top of that. DVD on the Origin of Humans has 2 hours of packed information on it. All that for just $19. What a deal. Well, Randy, some other questions come up. I want to hit this issue again. Is abortion really a woman's rights issue?
Well, one of the chapters in the book, Chapter 8, deals with this question. What I do is I go back in history, and a lot of people are surprised to hear that the early feminists, Susan B. Anthony, of course, was one of the pioneer feminists, were totally against abortion. Susan B. Anthony, and I quote her in the book, referred to abortion as, quote, child murder. She viewed it as a means of exploiting both women and children. She wrote, quote, I deplore the horrible crime of child murder, no matter what the motive, she goes on. And throughout the history of the feminist movement, people who were trying to get women's rights to vote, which, by the way, there are many aspects of the feminist movement that I agree with. Of course women should have equal rights, but it does not mean that they would have the right to take the life of a child. And it's only in modern feminism, and really it turned a corner with Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who basically laid hold of this, quote, right to choose, and made it a woman's right, so that, you know, it came along with everything else. So the idea was, if you don't believe in the right to have an abortion, then you don't believe women are equal. Well, of course you can believe women are equal, but not believe it is in the best interest of the child or in the best interest of the woman to take the life of the child. And that's what we have to remind ourselves. And that's why the subtitle of this book, Why Pro-Life, is Caring for the Unborn and Their Mothers. We need not choose between which we're going to take care of. We ought to be taking care of both. And it's never in a woman's best interest to take the life of her child. And Leah's phone call, you know, illustrated that in a powerful way we never could have orchestrated.
You have a wonderful statement here on page 58 that deals with that. You talk about Alice Paul, who drafted the original version of the Equal Rights Amendment, which was a landmark feminist document, and you make the statement here, Alice Paul referred to abortion as the ultimate exploitation of women.
Exactly, and if you think about all of the men whose irresponsibility has been encouraged by abortion, and no wonder that more women than men are actually pro-life, and the single greatest, quote, pro-choice group in America, largest pro-choice group in America, is single men. Now, why do you think that is?
Do you think it has to do with money?
Yeah, and just the idea that a man can take advantage of a woman and then not take responsibility when she's pregnant. Just cough up some money, and now I'm done, and I don't have to deal with the responsibility of a child.
So the abortion movement is partially a big money business.
Sure.
Well, we're going to take a break here in just a moment, and we're going to come back and take some of our callers. And we come back, I have some very interesting I'd like to talk about, and that is, what happens, what is that baby like in the woman's womb? When does it start to feel pain? Because when I do a talk, when I do talks around the country on this issue, I do a talk on creation, cloning, and when does life begin, I see people with tears in their eyes when I talk about the pain that baby goes through when it's aborted. So we're talking to Randy Alcorn. We have some lines open, 800-955-8200. When we come back, what about the baby in the woman's womb? What about the development of that baby? Welcome back to Creation Matters. This is Mike Riddle and our special guest Randy Alcorn here today. And we're talking about Why Pro-Life, a book every teenager in this country should have. It is easy to read, broken up into small chapters, and just has answers to all those questions. Matter of fact, I think every church should take this book and use it as one of their Sunday school books, because it just covers the topic. We need to get back to good education in a lot of our churches. And if you'd like to go out and get that book, go to creationmatters.org, click on the Why Pro-Life icon, and it'll take you right to Randy Alcorn's website. And again, that special deal, the Origin of Life Equipping Course, 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual, a teacher manual, and all for $19. And we're going to throw in this month the DVD on The Origin of Humans, and we have many interviews from top scientists. One of those interviews is from Dr. David Menton, who is a professor of human anatomy for over 30 years, and on there he talks about the woman's placenta, which is not part of the woman. It's a separate organ. And you know, it actually does the work of all the major organs except the heart, such as the kidneys, the lungs, and the liver. What a tremendous interview. You'll want to get this DVD, and it's free for purchasing the Origin of Life equipping course. Now, Randy, I've got some, we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Let's go to Ken from Maryvale. Ken, you have a question for Randy.
Yeah, Randy, I was wondering about there's an abortion clinic that just, it's Planned Parenthood. And from my understanding, Planned Parenthood, those clinics actually murdered unborn children. And it just opened up over here in North Marysville across from the Fred Meyer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was wondering, is it okay for Christians and pastors to hold signs and protest? It's freedom of speech, isn't it, to protest the abortion clinic?
Absolutely, right. And I think not every Planned Parenthood center performs abortions, but many do perform abortions. And whether or not they do, they promote abortion. And Planned Parenthood is the single largest abortion provider in America. And I think we should protest them. And that doesn't mean that every person's calling and ministry is to be out there doing that. But it's just like prison ministry. It's just like going to a soup kitchen and working in the inner city. God calls us to different things. He doesn't call all of us to everything, but certainly there should be a number of people in the local body of Christ.
But I don't see too many. I don't see too many Christian pastors or Christians from these churches. I think they're afraid they're going to get arrested or beat up.
Sure,
exactly. I think they're intimidated. They don't
know
their rights. It's important to know what you believe and why you believe it as an American citizen.
Exactly. And first of all, it is legal. It is legal to go out and, on public sidewalks and hold the signs. Protest is definitely protected under the law. And then you could ask yourself the question, frankly, even if it wasn't legal, would it be right for some people to be paying the price of going to jail if that's what it takes to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves?
So there is no law that's considered harassment for holding a sign that says, abortion is murder.
What was that?
So there is no law, there's no harassment law or any kind of law.
Well, no. I mean, of course, if you were being physically intimidating with someone, that would be, shoving a sign at them, touching them, pushing them, something like that. That would be different. But in terms of freedom of speech, the latitude is immense.
Be on their property or on the sidewalk? Or?
Well, you normally can't legally be on their property without it being second-degree criminal trespass if you're warned and you refuse to move off. But you can certainly stand outside. I mean, every clinic that has public access has a way of getting in that comes from public property. It comes from the street, comes from the sidewalk, and it's perfectly legal to stand there with a sign. And not only a sign, but some brochures.
Ken, we want to thank you very much for this call, but we do need to get to some other topics here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Randy, I have another. Let's go to two more. I want to get a couple more issues in here. That baby, the unborn baby, what kind of development does it go through? When does it start developing some of these organs in there? And I think you mentioned something about some of those things on page 30 of your book there.
Yeah, I talk about the different, for instance, by 8 weeks, and that's when the early abortions are happening. By 8 weeks, hands and feet are almost perfectly formed. By 9 weeks, the child will bend fingers around an object placed in the palm. The fingernails are forming. The child's sucking his thumb. I've seen pictures of an 8-week-old child in the womb, not even nearly at the end of the first trimester, sucking his thumb, all of these things are happening in this child, and certainly by late in the first trimester at least, the child is capable of feeling pain. And one of the remarkable things is on the back of this book, I have this picture, this award-winning photo of an operation on Sarah Marie Schweitzer, who was only 24 weeks old. And now hundreds of preborn children, she was operated on. She was taken outside of her mother's uterus. An operation was performed on her, and then she was reinserted into her mother's uterus and actually wasn't scheduled to be born until 4 months later, but she was born premature a few months later. But the point is that what do they do with this child? Well, one of the things they do is they give the child anesthesia. I mean, they give the a child painkillers. Well, why do they give this child that they're doing this surgery on painkillers? Well, because the child can feel pain, obviously. And there's a name that's given to this child. There's a medical record that's given to this child. And yet, this child's reinserted back in his or her mother, and it's perfectly legal to kill that same child who was given a corrective surgery to kill that same child up until the day that child is born.
So no doubt about it, abortion is legalized murder today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the fact is that every single surgical abortion in America stops a beating heart and stops measurable brain waves. That's just a scientific fact.
So
I mean, that's true.
So those of you thinking out there that you might want to get an abortion, just remember you are killing a human baby. And the Bible does say something about this. Isaiah 44:2 says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb." And then out of the New Testament, Ephesians 1:4, "According he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So the Bible teaches it is a human being. We are human beings at conception, folks. Well, Randy, this has been a great, great time, but I have one more very important question here.
Okay.
We've got about a minute here. Is abortion right when pregnancy presents a danger to the mother's life?
Well, we have to understand that there are two precious people involved in this pregnancy. One's the mother and one's the child. It's not a matter of saying that the child is better than or has more rights than the mother. It's to say that both of them have rights. And what we have to do is try to balance this. It is a very rare situation when the mother's life is endangered by the continuation of the pregnancy. But in those cases, you have to save the life that can be saved. In some cases, in many cases, the life that can be saved is the mother, and that needs to happen. But what happens then is not an abortion. It's just trying to save the life of the one person whose life can be saved.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with Randy Alcorn and why we should be pro-life and why the Planned Parenthood has been using bad science and bad arguments. Again, if you'd like to get that book, go to our website, creationmatters.org.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.